السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله، أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا. وقال تعالى: وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أحب الناس إلى الله أنفعهم للناس، وحب الأعمال إلى الله سرور تدخله على مسلم، وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم. جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. Respected ulama ikram, elders, brothers in Islam, from the many beautiful sifat and characteristics of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, one beautiful sifat and characteristic of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was his smiling countenance. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would always, very often, would be smiling. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Harith radiyallahu anhu says: "Ma ra'aytu ahadan akthara tabassuman min Rasulillah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I didn't see anyone smile more than our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." So smiling is a great sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not only a great sunnah, but it is a form of sadaqah and charity. That every time a person smiles, he gets the reward of sadaqah. And we must understand, our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what great responsibility of nubuwwat he had on his shoulders. How much worry of the ummah he had. With all of that, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was known to be always smiling. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq that we bring this beautiful sifat in our lives, to smile when we meet each other, to have a smiling countenance, to be cheerful. So this is part of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved to bring smiles on the faces of others. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved to make people happy. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, أحب الأعمال إلى الله إدخال سرور على قلب المسلمين. وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام, one of the most beloved actions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to make somebody happy, bring joy into their life, do something that will bring a smile to their face. That was our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He, just as his sahabi, subordinate of his, Sayyidina Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, he says, Ya Mu'adh, Wallahi inni lawahibbuk. That, O Mu'adh, I love you. Now one is, he shows love, and the other, he expresses his love. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed love to others, and he expressed his love to others. So one is, we show our love to our wives, to our children, people around us. But we should also express it. It is very important to express our love. That has a different impact and effect. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he notices this one child was quite grieved because that child had lost its his pet. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes down to the level of that child, to make him cheerful, to make him overcome the sadness of his. And he says, Ya Aba Umair, ma fa'alan lughayr. Imagine the Rasul of Allah, such a great Nabi of Allah, he comes down to the level of the child. And he says, Oh Abu Umair, what has happened to that pet of yours? Coming down to that level, trying to comfort him. A woman comes, a very old woman comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, asking, make dua that I enter Jannah. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told her, that no old person will enter into Jannah. So she starts crying. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then read the ayat of the Quran, Inna ansha'nahunna insha'a, faja'alnahunna abakara, uruban atraba. That when you enter Jannah, you won't be old. You will enter Jannah at a young age. It brought some happiness to her. It was a light-hearted moment. So the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us to be happy, to be one of those that are smiling, to have a smiling countenance, and to bring happiness and joy to others. أَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ إِدْخَالُ السُّرُورِ فِي قُلُوبِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ One of the most beloved actions to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to bring happiness and joy to others. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he was in the Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in itikaf. And while he was in itikaf, a person entered the masjid. He noticed that this person was a bit grieved. So he goes up to this person and he asks him, what is the matter? Why are you looking so grieved? So this is, look at the Sahaba Ikram, they cared for others. This person is grieved, just leave him, let him carry on. They didn't think in that manner. They said, let me see how I can help him. How can I remove to that that person? And he says, what is wrong? How can I help you? So he says, no, I have a debt upon me. And the due date has come, I need to pay it. I'm worried how I'm going to deal with this person. So Abdullah bin Abbas offers him, may I come with you to the person so I may talk on your behalf. So I can help you pay off that debt. So Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he goes and he leaves the masjid. He's about to leave the masjid of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was in itikaf. A person stopped him. He said, Abdullah bin Abbas, you are in itikaf. So he replies and he says that he pointing towards the grave of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. سَمِعْتُ صَاحِبَ هَذَا الْقَبْ That I heard the person that is in this qabr, I heard him saying, وَلَا أَنْ أَمْشِي مَأَخِي الْمُسْلِمِ فِي حَاجَّةٍ أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ أَنْ أَعْتَكِفَ فِي هَذَا الْمَسْجِدِ شَهْرًا That for me to go out and help a Muslim brother of mine, help him in his time of need to remove that difficulty is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than remaining itikaf one whole month in the masjid of Nabi, Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he breaks his itikaf to go and help this person. So Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhum, they understood deen. And they practiced deen to that level. They understood the priorities of life. Many of us, alhamdulillah, we have great desire to do a lot of a'mal, maybe a lot of salah, a lot of charity, but also not to cause harm to people, bring smiles to people, to make people happy. These are the things that will take us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Umar, many sahaba, they had this habit of going out in the night, looking out for those that are in need, how we can help them, how we can assist them. Many of them would go and leave food hampers at the doors of those people whom they knew were in need. So it was very common amongst the sahaba ikram radiallahu anhum. And there was a great, very great alim, Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullahi alayhi, was a muhaddith, a great scholar of hadith. He was a great faqih. He was a great mujahid. Allah had blessed him in many different ways. He excelled in many, many fields of deen. In different causes of deen, he excelled in whichever cause you can think of. So Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullahi alayhi, he had the habit of going for hajj very often. So on one occasion, as he was going for hajj, they stopped at a place. And while they stopped at this place, he noticed that a young girl had come out of a home. She grabs a dead duck and takes it back into her house to go and eat. So he stops her and he says that, how can you take carrion? It is haram, you cannot eat it, it's not permissible. So she replies and says, you don't worry about me, you carry on. But Abdullah bin Mubarak was quite curious to know why she is doing this. Then eventually she replied and says that my father was oppressively killed and we don't have any food in the home. It has been a few days. And this situation has forced us now to go and even eat carrion. So Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullahi alayhi, who understood deen and he practiced on it to that level, he want all of us have great desire to perform many hajj, many umrahs. But these people understood what was real deen. So he said, I rather sacrifice my hajj, but let me help this family that is in distress. So he takes all the wealth that he had saved, which he had with him, that he was going to use to on this journey of hajj. He gives it to this family and only keeps that amount which is sufficient for him to return home. And now after the hajj had completed, many people had come and they congratulated him. You know, hajj mabrur, Allah accept your hajj. So he says, but I didn't do a hajj this year. One person tells him, no, but I met you in Mina. Another person tells him, I kept some trust and amanat with you and you returned it to me. One person tells him, I met you by the Kaaba Sharif. He says, but I didn't perform hajj this year. That night he goes, when he sleeps, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes in his dream. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him that, oh Abdullah, you helped this family in distress. They were from my lineage. You helped them and assist them and you sacrificed your hajj. I made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah must depute an angel to perform hajj on your behalf in your form every year till the day of qiyamah. So when a person has, when he brings joy to the help, to the hearts of people, help people, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards him in very, very amazing ways. It was the same Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullahi alayh. On one occasion, after performing all the rites of hajj, he fell asleep in near the Kaaba Sharif. And in his sleep, he sees a dream and these two angels that are talking. The one angel asked the other angel, how many people have performed hajj this year? So the other angel replies and says, 600,000. Then the other one asks, how many of the hajj have been accepted? So he replies and says, I don't think any of the hajj has been accepted. Then he said, no, but there's one who's in Damascus, Ali bin, his hajj has been accepted. And because of him, everyone's hajj has been accepted. So Abdullah bin Mubarak, being such a great alim, who wanted to excel in every way possible, and he did excel. So he made this special journey, travels to Damascus to find this person and ask him, what is that special deed that you have done that because of you everyone's hajj has been accepted? He comes to Damascus to find out who is this Ali bin Wafaq. Eventually he finds this person who was a simple cobbler. So he asks him, did you perform hajj? He says, no, I didn't perform hajj. Then he asked him, do you have intention of hajj? He says, I have intention of hajj. Then when are you going to perform hajj? He says, only Allah knows. Then he told him, he related the dream to him, and he asked him, but what is special in your life that this has happened? I have seen this dream. So he didn't want to disclose and mention what had really happened. So he says, he doesn't know, and he tried to avoid the question. Eventually he replied and he said, that I've been saving for hajj for 30 years. For 30 years I've been saving so I can perform this great journey of hajj. And he says that one day I noticed that my neighbor was very distressed. So I went to the neighbor and I spoke to the neighbor, what's wrong? And eventually the neighbor told me that we are going through severe poverty and we don't have food on the table, and today I've been forced to feed my children carrion today. So he says, this Ali bin Muwaffaq, he took all that money. He says, to help a Muslim brother is more beloved to Allah. He takes all that money which he saved for 30 years and he gives it to this family in need. Imagine when a person will help people in need, what level he'll reach in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned the hadith that once he asked the sahaba ikram radiallahu anhum, shall I inform you of something which has more reward than a lot of salah and sadaqah? We all know there's great rewards in these, in salah, in lot of sadaqah and charity, doing these different types of work, good deeds, in itikaf. Great reward, we can't undermine it. We all should try our best to excel in all these amal. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then replied, صَلَاحُ ذَاتِ الْبَيْنِ. That is mending relationships with people. All these actions are a means of us getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A means of us earning that closeness, the pleasure of Allah. There was a person recently that passed away, one youngster, about a few months ago. So after he passed away, then somebody came to the janazah house to meet the father. And he told the father, started mentioning the incidents, his encounter with the son that had passed away. So he says that your son was performing tarawih. He was a pharmacist. And he was performing tarawih salah in a certain venue. And every day after the tarawih, he would choose some ayats of the Quran, and he would discuss those ayat with us. He would prepare from some tafsir. And it was a 5 minutes tafsir. He was a hafizab, who was also a pharmacist. 5 minutes he would spend and trying to encourage the people. So this person says that one day after the tarawih, I went up to him and I told your son that this is the medication I'm taking. You are a pharmacist, you know this medication. He said, yes, this is it's a very high level of medication taken for stress. So he tells him that, ask him what's up. He said, I don't know, I've got a lot of depression and stress in my life. I'm forced to take this, I can't manage without this medication. So this youngster tells him, I don't know much, I don't know what I can advise you. But I can tell you what my mother would always tell me is, recite Surah Baqarah. So I told him, you recite Surah Baqarah every day, inshallah, through the blessings of reciting Surah Baqarah, your stress will go away and Allah will cure you from this problem that you are facing. So this person tells him, but unfortunately I cannot read Quran. How is it possible? I can't even read Surah Baqarah. It's not possible. So the youngster tells him, okay, don't worry. Every day you come and sit with me, I will help you. And I will teach you Quran. So every day he would sit with him and teach him the Quran, reciting Quran. And he says that a few months had passed and alhamdulillah, I started reciting Quran and I even came out of this medication. I stopped taking this medication. He says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had cured. The point that I'm mentioning is that we saying something kind, nice, encouraging to people, you don't know what effect it will have in a person's life. So saying some trying to help a person doesn't cost much. To smile at somebody, to say something encouraging, we don't know how it will change a person's life. A person that's going to stress and worry, it will remove his depression, remove his stress. It will cure him of his problems. We don't know what will help a person, what will touch a person's heart. So the lesson that today I wanted to share was this lesson from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had this quality of smiling and bringing joy to the hearts of people, saying things, encouraging words, and saying things that will be a means of that person feeling at ease and peace. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned in a hadith that sometimes a person says a word, something, he says something, maybe one word or few words, he doesn't really hold it in very high regard. But that words that he shared with somebody is a means of him entering Jannah. So we don't know which words of encouragement, which words of bringing joy to somebody that may change their life, may empower them, may help them. So we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq, that we bring these beautiful qualities in our life. One is that we have a smiling countenance. And together with having a smiling countenance, bringing joy and happiness to people, saying good words, saying encouraging words, let it not be such that we say something that may hurt the feelings of others. Let it not be that we say something. On the other hand, the other part of the hadith is that a person says something, he thinks nothing bad of it, but that word can be, those words, what he said, could be a means of him entering into Jahannam. Because maybe he caused disunity amongst family, amongst the community,
He just forwarded something about something which was not positive, which was negative. And it had a very negative effect in society. That's the other side of it. So we make dua that Allah grant us the beautiful quality of seeing how we can bring joy to the hearts of people and to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The people are suffering, especially our Muslim brothers and sisters that are suffering in Gaza. How we can do something, whatever it's in our capacity, that will be a means of them bringing joy to their hearts, whether it is us sending some form of sadaqah, and that will empower them, that will help them, whether it means that dua that we are making to Allah, we don't know what will help the people that are suffering throughout the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to make amal wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.